بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، continue reading in كتاب التوحيد الذي هو حق الله على العبيد. The book of التوحيد, pure monotheism, singling out Allah alone for all aspects of worship, inwardly and outwardly, which is the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In our previous class, we had read the chapter the author he had mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, about obedience, clarifying the issue of at-ta'ah, absolute obedience, and that is, it must be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is from lawazim al-tawheed, any of the requirements of al-tawheed. And whenever the tawheed is proper and pure and sound and strong, then this requires for the obedience of the individual to be entirely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that one he will comply, and that one he will comply with his self and his body parts inwardly and outwardly to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And a deficiency in obedience to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only proceeds from a deficiency in at-tawheed, and a deficiency in at-tawheed. So the previous chapter was with regards to obedience, obeying the others in contradiction to the command of Allah, obeying the creation in contradiction to the obedience of the Creator subhanahu wa ta'ala. The chapter that we begin today, the author, he says, Babu qawli Allahi ta'ala, the chapter with regards to the statement of Allah the Most High, أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ يَزْعُمُونَ أَنَّهُمْ آمَنُوا بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ يُرِيدُونَ أَنْ يَتَحَاكَمُوا إِلَى الطَّاغُوتِ وَقَدْ أُمِرُوا أَنْ يَكْفُرُوا بِهِ وَيُرِيدُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَنْ يُضِلَّهُمْ ضَلَالًا بَعِيدًا. الآيات. So the author, he has entitled this chapter, rahimahullah, the chapter with regards to the statement of Allah the Most High, the meaning of which is, have you not seen those who claim, have you not seen, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those who claim that they believe in that which is revealed to you and that which is revealed to those before you, and they want to take others beside, and they want to take the taghut, any others besides you, as a judge in their disputes. They wish to take the taghut as a judge in their disputes, and they have been commanded in order to disbelieve in the taghut. And shaitan, he wants to mislead them in a great manner. He wants to mislead them far into misguidance until the end of the verses related to this affair. So this chapter here is with regards to legislation and tashri', and it's similar like the previous chapter. These two chapters, they're directly related, and they have a strong relationship between the context and the subject matter. The previous class with regards to obedience, and that to show preference to the obedience of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes preference, and no one is obeyed any from the people in disobedience to Allah and His Messenger. And this is from the rights of at-tawheed, and from the requirements of at-tawheed, and from that which tawheed requires and necessitates. And likewise, here in this chapter, we have the issue of at-tahakum. At-tahakum, any fi mawadid al-niza', to take a judge and a rule in times of dispute and disagreement. And what is incumbent is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His book will be the judge, and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should be the judge and the means to solve and dissolve any dispute or any differing in the affairs of the religion, whether it's with regards to creed and belief or to the actions that are obligatory or not obligatory, or how to perform them, or with regards to contracts or manners and conducts, the scale in this affair, and the means that determines that which is correct and that which is wrong, and that which is truth and that which is falsehood, and who is right and who is wrong, and the likes like this, the means to determine this affair is the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's an obligation to return back to this. It's an obligation, first and foremost, to believe this. And then likewise, whenever it comes down to the time of disputing and disagreement, to return back to this affair and to not take anything as a judge to solve the disputes besides the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or anything that is contrary to that. So this is the obligation. And this is from at-tawheed. And this is what tawheed requires and necessitates. And this is what the shahada requires and necessitates. And the one who believes that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the creator and the sustainer and the provider of the heavens and the earth, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one who has absolute authority, and He is the Lord. He is the Rabb subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He has authority over His creation, and He is the most wise, and He is the most kind, and He is the most merciful, and His knowledge has encompassed all things subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He knows best about His creation. Ala ya'lamu man khalaq wa huwa al-latiful khabir. The one who believes in this affair and believes that Allah alone, He is the one who possesses the attributes of perfection, and that Allah alone, He is the one who is worthy of worship, then it's incumbent for him, based upon that, to believe that the ruling of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best ruling, and the judgment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best judgment. And from the names of Allah azza wa jal, al-hakim, that He is the judge subhanahu wa ta'ala, and likewise al-hakim, and Allah azza wa jal, He is rabbu al-alameen, He is the Lord of the worlds, and He is al-hakim, wa lahu al-hukmu subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the judge, and the rule is for Him, and He knows best, and His judgment is most wise, and His judgment is based upon His knowledge and His mercy and justice and wisdom subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, Allah azza wa jal, He has al-hukmu, lahu al-hukmu, al-hukmu al-qadri al-qawni. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has the universal rule and decree, meaning that He decrees what He wills subhanahu wa ta'ala in this creation, and nothing occurs except for that which He has willed and decreed subhanahu wa ta'ala. But likewise, lahu al-hukmu al-shar'i al-amri, and He also has the legislative hukum and the command, and He declaring that which is allowed and that which is not allowed, and that which is permissible and that which is impermissible, and that which is wholesome and good and upright, and that which is foul and wicked and detestful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one who decrees and legislates this affair, that which is allowed to look at and to see, and that which is to say, and that which is to do, and that which is good and wholesome and allowed for a person to eat or to drink, and the likes like this. He is the one who declares the halal and the haram. Likewise, that which is impermissible, and that which is foul, and that which is not allowed to look at, and that which is not allowed to touch, and those contracts, and that money that is impermissible to take, and the likes like this. And even before that, with regards to affairs of creed, and likewise actions of worship, all of this is in the command of Allah Azza wa Jal. And likewise, Allah Azza wa Jal, lahu al-hukmu al-jazai al-iqabi, and He is the one who has the rule and the judgment with regards to recompense and punishing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He recompenses in the best manner. He is just subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He does not oppress anyone. And if He punishes the people, then they are His slaves subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if He pardons them, then verily He is the most forgiving and the most merciful. So this is the affair, and it's obligatory to believe in this issue. Inna Allaha huwa al-hakim wa ilayhi al-hukum. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that verily Allah, He is al-hakim, He is the supreme judge, and the judgment and the command and the ruling returns back to him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna al-hukmu illa lillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions that the rule and the judgment is for none except for Allah. It's for none except for Allah. So therefore, from the greatest obligations of al-Islam and the rights of it, tawheed, and the perfection of the deen, is that one, he will take Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a judge in all affairs, as a judge that will solve all of his disputes in every aspect, in the aspects of the religion, all of them, and likewise in the affairs of the worldly life, and the affairs of the worldly life, that the judgment will go back to the legislation of Allah, that which is revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that which was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the Quran and the Sunnah. Was the Quran and the Sunnah. Allah, he says, وَأَنزَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ. And Allah, he has revealed to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the book and the wisdom. The book is the Quran, the speech of Allah Azza wa Jal, and al-hikmah, the wisdom, the people of knowledge, they have mentioned, this is the Sunnah. This is the Sunnah. So in times of dispute, or whenever our affairs are not clear, and in times of disagreement, and the likes like this, and it, from every aspect, it's incumbent to return back to this, to the legislation of Allah, and to search for the truth in this manner, and to solve the dispute in this manner. And whenever one, he finds the ruling of Allah Azza wa Jal, he will submit to that and surrender. And he will find peace and ease in his heart with regards to that, and he will comply. And he will comply. And he knows that the truth lies here in the revelation of Allah Azza wa Jal and in the legislation of Al-Islam. And this right here in reality is justice. And this is moderation. And the one who is upon a moderate path, and the one who is upon a straight path and upon justice, he is the one who, whenever he finds the ruling of Allah Azza wa Jal, he submits to that, suffices with that. And whenever he finds the ruling of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he submits to that and suffices with that, with regards to that which is incumbent and obligatory or allowed and permissible, or that which is recommended, or that which is impermissible and forbidden, or that which is disliked, and the likes like this, that which is incumbent to believe or to do, or to perform, or that which is incumbent to avoid and to stay away from, and to disbelieve in, and the likes like this. All of this goes back to the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and this is moderation and the straight path. And the straight path. So with regards to at-tahakum, at-tahakum again is to take a judge, and to take someone as a ruler, and a judge or a referee in the affair. And this will be between more than one person. At-tahakum, at-tahasum. Yani, so therefore, whenever there's a dispute or disagreement, then the people, they will go back to somebody or something to solve their issue and to declare who is right or who is wrong. They will say, you are right and he's wrong, or he's right and you're wrong, or both of you are wrong. Like this, he'll be the judge in this affair. So what is incumbent is that the legislation is the judge in this affair. And taking it to the people, it would only be to those who use the legislation as a judge in this affair. So the judge in the affair is the legislation of Allah. And the one that one will go to in this manner will to the people who have knowledge of the legislation of Allah. And the people who make the judgment based upon the legislation of Allah. And this is what is incumbent. So with regards to the people, they do not all follow this way. So there are categories of individuals with regards to tahakum. With regards to tahakum and taking a judgment. And taking a judgment and taking judges in order to solve the disputes. So first and foremost, this is what is incumbent and what is correct and what is justice and what is upright and what is from the perfection of the deen and at-tawheed is to take Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a judge in the affairs. But others, sometimes they will take laws. They will take laws and anzima. Anzima, any laws and legal systems. Laws and legal systems that are contrary to the legislation of Allah, that rule contrary to the legislation of Allah. They will take as a judge in dispute of their affairs, and they will take as a judge to solve the disputes of their affairs, legal systems and legal ways and laws that are in conflict with the legislation of Allah. For example, the legislation of Allah will state that the one who is convicted of stealing the proper amount that is found in the legislation, then his hand should be cut. This is the legislation of Allah. And then instead of following this legislation, one, he will go to the judgment of the courts that are contrary to the Sunnah, contrary to the legislation, and they say that the one who steals, he'll be put in prison for this many days, or he will be given this much money, a fine, and the likes like this. And so whenever the legislation of Allah says one thing, and the rule of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam is one thing, and then the courts and the legal way is another thing, this is another aspect of that. And this is from the greatest sins. And the ruling with regards to this affair is very dangerous. And the details, they will come any with regards to this. So this is one aspect. So people will either take the book and the sunnah as a judge, or they will take the legal ways and the legal system that are in contradiction to that as a judge. The first one is a tawheed, and the second one is kufr, disbelief, along with details that will come there. Then we have a third, any circumstance or situation. These are the situations with regards to any at-tahakum. The first one is to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah. This is a tawheed and obligatory. The second one is to legal ways and legal systems that are in contradiction to the Quran and the Sunnah. The Quran and the Sunnah have made the judgment in this issue, and these legal systems, they contradict that. And they oppose that, and they make a judgment that is contrary to that. This is opposite of at-tawheed. This is contrary to at-tawheed, and this is in negation and conflict with tawheed in its foundation. Then there are other anzima, there are other legal systems taking that one will take as a judgment in dispute of his affairs that are not in contradiction to the legislation. There are certain laws and systems that are in place that are man-made, but they're not in contradiction to the legislation. Rather, if you look at them, they are in affairs that the legislation was silent about and didn't mention a clear ruling with regards to, but they will be placed for the benefit of the human being and the society and his safety and his protection and the likes like this. And they're not in conflict with the legislation. So therefore, in reality, because these particular laws that are in place by man that is not mentioned in the Quran and the Sunnah, because they are preserving the wealth and the honor and the well-being and the best interest of the human being without conflicting with the legislation, then really it is considered from the legislation, because the ruling and the purpose of the judgment of Allah Azza wa Jalla is to bring justice. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّوا الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا وَإِذَا حَكَمْتُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ أَن تَحْكُمُوا بِالْعَدْلِ. That this is what Allah, He commands. Whenever you judge between the people, is to judge with justice. So that which is in the Quran and Sunnah is justice. And anything likewise that is not in conflict with that, that is in line with that. It's not in conflict in that, but it's in line with that by preserving that which is necessity for the benefit of the human being. For example, like the laws in the traffic laws and the likes like this. Maybe there's no direct mention of these affairs in the Quran or in the Sunnah, but this is from the best interest of the society and the protection of the human being and the likes like this. So therefore, to follow these laws is not in contradiction to the legislation. It's not in contradiction to the legislation, rather it's in accordance. So therefore, following these laws here is allowed. Following these laws here is allowed, and the rules that are set in place with regards to that. If there are rules with regards to the traffic, for example, and the traffic violations, and there are accidents, so on and so forth, and then there are laws set to determine who is at fault and who is not at fault, and these laws are not in contradiction or in conflict with anything found in the book or in the sunnah. Rather, they're placed for the benefit of the society and the protection of the rights of the people, and they're not in conflict, then it's allowed to judge with these affairs, and this is not in conflict, rather it's in accordance. Because the purpose of the ruling of Allah and the legislation and from the intents of the Sharia is to preserve the rights and to bring justice and to protect the best interest of the people in their bodies and in their minds and in their wealth and in their reputations and the likes like this and in their lineage. So all of this is allowed in this manner here. So it's important to be able to differentiate between these affairs. So therefore, one, he could say, when will making it tahakum to other than the Book of Allah be allowed? And when would it be impermissible? When would it be allowed and when would it be impermissible? to take other than the Book of Allah as a judge and a ruler in disputes and affairs, when would it be permissible and when would it be impermissible? Before the first one was easy. When is it haram?
When it's in contradiction.
So whenever the ruling taking the man-made laws, the man-made laws that are in contradiction clearly, that are in contradiction to the legislation of al-Islam, then this one is impermissible in haram. Yani, and this is a major crime. And the details of this will come, inshallah. And this is the case. But as for whenever the man-made laws are not in contradiction to the Sunnah, and they're in preservation of the necessities of the human being and his society and the likes like this, and they're in the best interest of the human being, then they are not haram. Rather, at this time, they are permissible. It's permissible. We understand this affair? So now we go to the dangerous issue. The dangerous issue of taking a judge, taking the judge or taking the ruling. And there's two affairs here. So that tahakum, would contain two affairs. And taking the ruling of other than Allah, and then taking someone as a judge as other than Allah. So we have the one who is judging with other, then that which Allah has ruled, and then that ruling likewise. So the one who goes to that person or that system to judge with other than the Book of Allah, or he takes the ruling of other than the rule of Allah, likewise, this is what is included here. Likewise, this is what is included here. So those who take judgments and they take rulings that are in contradiction to the legislation of Allah, or they go to solve their disputes in courts and laws that are contrary to the legislation of Allah, this is different aspects, and they have different rulings. So the first issue with regards to at-tahakum will be the one who goes to these man-made laws or these laws that are in contradiction with the legislation and in opposition to the legislation, and he believes that the legislation of Allah is deficient. This is why he goes to these other laws. This is why he goes to these other court systems, because he believes that the legislation is deficient. He believes that the legislation is deficient, and he dislikes the legislation of Allah, and he prefers the legislation of this legal system that has been put in place, and he finds that it's better and more beneficial. For example, some people, they will say that this is an issue of business and trade. What does the religion have to do with this? What does the religion have to do with this? And they will say, for example, this is an issue between a man and his wife. What does deen have to do with this? Somebody would say the likes of this, wa'iyadhu billah, and they would prefer any other than the legislation of Allah to be a judge. And they believe that this is better and the likes, and they'll find fault with the legislation of Allah. This is disbelief. This is major disbelief. This issue here is major disbelief. The second situation is whenever a person, he will believe that these laws are better and more beneficial for the people. They're better and more beneficial for the people than the laws and the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jal. They believe that these man-made laws are better and more beneficial and more just and the likes like this, and it's better to follow them, it's preferable. So this one likewise is major disbelief. This one likewise is major disbelief. Or in the third situation, he believes that they're equal. They're equal. It's all the same. The judgment of Allah and the Quran and the Sunnah, or the judgment of these man-made societies, they're equal. They're equal in their beauty and their benefit. And it's allowed. And this is the case. They're equal in their rulings and the likes. This one likewise is major disbelief. The fourth issue or the fourth circumstance is to believe that the ruling of Allah Azza wa Jal is best, and to believe that the ruling of Allah Azza wa Jal is most just, and to believe that the ruling of Allah is the best and most just, but along with that, to believe that it's allowed to rule with other than the rule of Allah. It's allowed to use these systems and these legal ways that are in conflict with the legislation. And he believes that the legislation of Allah is best and most just and upright, but along with that, he believes it's allowed for him to use other than that as a judgment. Likewise, this is major disbelief. Likewise, this is major disbelief. So all 40 of these cases here is major disbelief. It's major disbelief. We understand this. The ruling here is on the action, not on the person. The ruling here is on the action, not on the person, with regards to the entire book. And this is the way of the author. And it is known that with regards to the ruling on the person, the ruling on the person, and this requires for the conditions to be met in that individual, and likewise that which would prohibit that to be lifted and to be removed. So there are details when applying these rules to specific individuals. We have discussed this before in detail in this book, and likewise in greater detail in Nawaqid al-Islam. So for those who want to refer back to that, you need the issue of declaring a specific person to be a disbeliever. This is very dangerous and requires knowledge and justice and wisdom. Knowledge and justice and wisdom. But as for the general ruling, this is the case here. Ma'am, so this is the issue. The fifth circumstance is whenever one, he will believe, he will take these other legal systems as a judge and to solve his disputes, but he believes that the rule of Allah is the best. And he believes that while taking these legal ways as a means to solve his disputes, he's sinning. To believe that the rule of Allah is the best and the most just, and that it's an obligation to take the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jal as a rule and a judge to solve his dispute, but because of his desires and whims, he went to another legal system to follow his desires and to follow his whims. For example, somebody who gave a loan for $1,000, but he did not give it for a loan only, rather he gave it with interest. So he gave somebody a loan for $1,000, but that person is supposed to pay him back $1,500 after a period of time. He loaned him $100 with the agreement that he's going to get paid back $1,500. So then after the loan is set and then some time goes by, there's a dispute between the two people. We see that this loan, it has interest in it, $500 interest. So then later, when it comes time to repay the debt, there comes a dispute in this affair. The person who gave the loan, he knows that if he takes this affair to the Muslim court and to the Muslim judge, then he's going to rule for him only $1,000, and he's not going to rule for him his interest. He's not going to rule for him his interest. He knows that if he goes to the Muslim ruler, he will ask him how much is the loan and the likes like this, and he'll say it was this much, but he has to pay back this much. The Muslim judge will not rule for him to be paid the interest. Rather, he will rule for him the money that he had loaned only, which is incumbent, an obligation. So this person, he knows that. But his desires are craving the dunya. He's loving and lusting the wealth. And he knows that riba is haram and impermissible, but he is overcome by his whims and desires. And he knows that if he goes to another yani legal system contrary to Islam, that they will rule for him for all of the money that's in accordance to the contract. So therefore he goes to these courts that are in conflict with the legislation in order to get his money that is in his contract, yani in order to get the interest, the $500 interest. We understand this? This person here, he believes what he's doing is wrong. He believes that it's a sin, but he's following his desires and whims. Like anybody else who disobeys Allah Azza wa Jal. For example, to commit fornication. This is haram. And the ruling of Allah Azza wa Jal is that that's not permissible. And one, he must avoid and stay away from that and everything that leads to that. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا. This is the hukum of Allah Azza wa Jal. But somebody maybe who will follow his desires and his whims and be overcome by his lust until he falls into that. So he knows that he's sinning. And he knows that he is in opposition to the ruling of Allah Azza wa Jalla, but he fell into that based upon sins. This person, he did not disbelieve. So similarly like this, this person who went to these other court systems in this manner, following his desires, believing in the legislation and in the obligation of taking the legislation as a judge and a rule, but following his whims and desires and his lust for the dunya and the likes like this. So this is not major disbelief. This situation here is not major disbelief, rather it's the major crime, and from the major sins, and it's a kabira, min kabair al-dhunub, but it's lesser than shirk and disbelief. No doubt it has a great effect on his tawheed, but it does not remove it entirely. It does not remove it entirely. So we understand the situation now. We understand the situation. Now the people of knowledge, they discuss the issue whenever a person, he will be in a situation which is darura. He will be in a situation where it's a great necessity, where he's forced. He could either be in a great necessity, yani a dire necessity, or he could be forced to go to the legal systems that are contrary to the legislation. Either it could be a great necessity, like for example, he's in a non-Muslim land, and he had done some business with a non-Muslim, for example, and then that non-Muslim is violating his rights, and there's no way for him to get his right back except to go to the courts. The Muslim knows if he takes him to the Muslim judge, the non-Muslim, he's not gonna go. So then in order to get his right back, he has no choice except to go to the courts of the disbelievers and the likes like this. But this will be in time of necessity, and there are conditions for this. We discuss them, inshallah. Another circumstance, whenever a person, he will not have no choice. For example, they dispute now, and now the disbeliever, they're in the disbelieving lands. The disbeliever, he takes him to court. The disbeliever, he's the one who files for him, and now he's summoned to court. He has no choice now. He's summoned, the Muslim now is summoned to go to court. So now, he will have no choice now. He will have to go. So this is a situation whenever it's a darura. It's a dire necessity. So in this circumstance, it's allowed. It's allowed for a person to go to these court systems in this manner with conditions the people of knowledge they mention. With conditions the people of knowledge they mention. And from them, the first of them is that a person, he would detest that in his heart. That if he is forced to go to the non-Muslim courts in a dire situation and necessity, that he will go while he detests that. And he will detest any going there and being there and dealing with the people there and going through that situation and listening to the judgment and the rulings and the likes like this. He will detest this in his heart. He will know that it's contrary to the legislation of Allah, and he will dislike that. He will dislike that. So he will go out of coercion, and he will go out of necessity while he dislikes it. While he dislikes it and detests the situation that he's in. We understand that? This is the first situation. The second situation is that the necessity, it must be established. The necessity, the dire necessity and need, it must be established and it must be real. It can't be something that is imagined. It can't be something that is deluded. It's a delusion. It's thinking maybe it's going to happen. No, it has to be something that's established, and a person is facing that. Some sisters, for example, they whenever they get divorced with their husband and they have falling out, especially whenever it's a nasty situation and both parties are not dealing with the situation in the best manner, sometimes the sister, she will take the brother to court for child support. And many times the last thing that they have problems with is the brother paying the money for his children. And the problems that are between the husband and wife are not because the brother doesn't pay for his children. Many times it's like this. They'll have disputes and they'll not get along. But if you look truthfully into the situation, the brother, he feeds his child. The brother, he clothes his child. So the situation is not about that. It's about a dispute that they have together. It's a dispute that the spouses have, yani, between each other. So the sister, she'll become upset and she'll become angry, and she wants to get back at her husband, and she wants to do something to her husband, so she'll take him to child support and the likes like this. She'll take him to the court to get child support and the likes like this. Yani, this is, and in her mind, she's, when you ask her, why you did this, sister? Why don't you just solve this affair in the masjid? Why don't you take it to the imam and make an agreement how much he's going to pay you monthly and the likes like this? And she'll say, oh, he doesn't pay for his children, or he doesn't do this, or he will not do this, and he will not do that. And this is what she's supposing, what she's thinking. And it's not something that is real. And many times, it's not even something that is true. And in reality, she has some issue in her heart trying to spite her husband and the likes like this. So therefore, this is not allowed. This is not allowed. The situation has to be established. It has to be real. It has to be established. It has to be real. It can't be some delusion or something that might happen. It has to be established and it has to be real. before it's allowed to go to those courts. Before it's allowed to go to those courts. This is an example of that. This is an example of that. The third situation is that the necessity has to be major. The people of knowledge say has to be al-darura al-azima. Shaykh Suleiman al-Rahili, yani hafidhullah, he's yani a benefit with regards to this issue here from him. And he mentioned here with regards to this point, for example, $10,000, $20,000, it's not enough to go to the courts. He said to give that up and to lose that is better, is lighter. This small amount here, $10,000, $20,000, and the likes like this, somebody got over on a brother for this much money. So it's better for him to leave this. This is not enough. This is not a necessity. This is not this is not a necessity to the extent that it's allowed for a person to go to those courts to judge for him and to rule for him. Rather, it has to be major wealth. It has to be a great necessity. $10,000, $20,000, nothing. He just have to let that go and get over it. He have to let that over and get over it. It has to be something that's major. In any case, the term that's being used here is al-darura. Al-darura. The people of Nara, as I mentioned, al-darura is whenever a person, he's in a situation where he's afraid for his life. Or he's afraid he's going to lose a body part. This is the example of darura. He's in a situation where he's afraid for his life. Or he's afraid for he's going to lose a body part. So it's different than a hajj. It's different from a need. Somebody might need something, but he's not going to die if he don't get it. Somebody might need something, but he's not going to lose a body part if he don't get it. So he's not in a state of dire necessity. So therefore, it has to be something major, not something minor. $10,000, $20,000, the Shaykh considered this to be minor, yani compared to the greatness and to the severity of going to these other systems, these other legal systems, to use as a judge and a ruler in the dispute of the affairs. To use as a judge and a ruler and to solve the disputes in these affairs. So the fourth condition, the people of knowledge, as they mentioned, is that a person, he has no other way out. There's no other way. He can't go to another, he's not possible for him to find any other way to get the right back except for in this manner. Or he has no other way out because he's been summoned, for example. And there's no other way out for him except in this manner. So therefore, now it's allowed for him. Now it's allowed for him. There's no other way out for him to get his wealth. For example, the sister, because this is something that's common. And his sister's taking their husbands to court for child support and the likes like this. This is something that's very common. So the fact that it's very easy for her to go to the imam. It's very easy for her to find some brother who she trusts, who has knowledge, trusting him in his knowledge and in his and his manners and the likes like this to handle these affairs. So he will go to the imam or to one of the students of knowledge or the people of knowledge and the likes like this, and to set him up as a judge to solve the dispute and determine the affair. It's very easy for a person to do this. Likewise, brothers who have a dispute and issues in their business, before they have to take it to the courts, they can take it to the imam and take it to the people of knowledge and solve it in a beneficial and a good way before it goes to this extent. So from the conditions that are set before, it's allowed to go to these disbelieving courts that judge with other than the rule of Allah Azza wa Jalla, is that he will have no other way out. He will have no other way out. So long as there's an Islamic center or an imam that is upright and known for his good manners and methodology and creed and belief and the likes like this, then this is incumbent to go to him before going to these courts. Likewise, the conditions the people of knowledge they mention is that if one is in a situation where it's allowed for him to go to these courts, it's only allowed for him to take the right that he deserves, the legislative right that he deserves. Sometimes, for example, in car accidents, the judgment will be any greater than what a person deserves. Maybe something will happen to the door only, and the ruling will be for him as if the car is total, and he will take many more times what he deserves. Or somebody will be hurt, and he will deserve recompense for the pain and the injury that he has and the likes like this. He'll be hurt on the job, or he'll be hurt in a certain situation, a circumstance, and he'll be injured, and he deserves recompense. He deserved a confidence. And then the court judges that he gets an amount that is greater than what he deserves. It's not allowed for him to take the extra amount. It's only allowed for him to take what he's deserved and allowed in the legislation of Allah. It's only allowed for him to take what is allowed for him in the legislation, in the legislation of Allah. So this is some of the issues with regards to making a tahakum, that it's an incumbent affair, and from the fundamentals of the religion, and those who testify that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, that they make the Quran and the Sunnah the means and the judge for solving all of that which they dispute in. Solving all that of that which they dispute in. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu ati'u allaha wa ati'u ar-rasula wa ulil amri minkum. Wa intanaza'tum fi shay'in farudduhu ila allahi wa ar-rasuli in kuntum tu'minuna billahi wal yawmil akhir. Dhalika khayrun wa ahsanu ta'wila. Wa naktafi bihadha wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.